This episode has been recorded by Janine Preston for Life is a Beach. I've been chatting to somebody I've known for many years, and his name is Simon Munder. Simon has given most of his life, his time, his energy to the disability community. I've watched him grow disabled people to amazing heights. He doesn't see it as a disability. He sees it as an ability. Hence his newspaper is called This Ability. He teaches people how to think differently about disabilities, and I have the privilege of interviewing him a step further. And have said, you know what, if I'm going to have my own business, I want to make a difference to my community. We are going to be talking to Simon Munder, who is the founder of This Ability, which is all about disability. And hi, Simon.
Hi, Janine, our listeners. How's it?
I'm good, and you? And it's so good to talk to you again.
It's a pleasure as well. It's a pleasure.
Tell me a little bit about the background to this ability, because most people don't know you. You are one of the quiet unsung heroes that very few people know, but behind the success of this ability.
We go back in 2010 when I was staying in Durban. I had two mutual friends that were doing disability events. They were involved in a number of initiatives. They themselves are wheelchair users, Musa Zulu and Vusi Ndimeni. They had an organization that used to give bursaries to youth with disabilities. They also had an expo that showcased the ability of business people that have disabilities. And I thought this was such wonderful initiative that we needed to let people know what was happening, because if people don't understand what persons with disabilities can do, they can never envision or understand what is achievable or possible. So the only mass media approach was to start a platform that would inform the whole country or sub-Saharan Africa or beyond through a media platform. And we settled for a newspaper because we thought if we do it as print as an online, then people can understand and see what is possible, what is happening. And hence the paper started. And from then on, the aim has been to raise profiles with disabilities that are playing wonderful and amazing roles in society, as well as showcasing and informing the society of initiatives, projects, references where people with disabilities in society can find socioeconomic empowerment. And we've been doing that since 2010, and we're proud to say it's been going very, very well.
I must say, my mom was in a wheelchair. She has passed away, but she was in a wheelchair, and many of the challenges we faced. But we often find that now that the government gives you they give you points or money back or tax break if you hire a disabled person. But sometimes it always seems like when a company does that, they're using the opportunity more for a token person rather than understanding that the role of disability in our world is just that you need to cater for them, but they're just a normal person. They have a brain like we have. They have their limbs may not be the same as ours, but at the end of the day, they're a great employee.
Yes. Actually, going that direction is just sensitizing both parties. There's a mainstreaming training that needs to be done for persons with disabilities. Having a disability, that doesn't mean you're an advocate. The same thing as being a woman doesn't make you a feminist. We need also to create a platform of understanding where we talk issues of what is this disability. What are the rights? What is accommodation or reasonable accommodation, especially in a workplace or a platform that you'll be engaging persons with disabilities with? And also on the other hand, sensitizing people in the workplace, sensitizing people in schools to say, what is it that you should expect? What is it that we're talking about or dealing with? So that people can really understand when they meet that there's no things that almost like cause further barriers to participation. So that's very important in the workplace. And we find that companies, as much as they're doing the BEE token and disability inclusion, is the first step to something. As we go on, as time moves on, as more awareness is raised, then people will really understanding the fundamental issues and really do it for the right reasons rather than token reasons.
And I think that's so true. I look at some of the things that when I talk to people and we mention the word disability, the assumption is either that the person is in a wheelchair or is unable to walk, but they don't realize that disability is also being deaf, unable to see. And I know a friend of mine's daughter just recently had a baby and she's deaf. And the more she tried to explain to the staff at the hospital, I need my husband here because he needs to tell me when to push, when to do certain things, because you're standing behind me, I can't see what you're saying because I'm deaf. And you know, they never took that into consideration. And she really had one of the most horrendous natural births because they wouldn't allow him in due to COVID.
That's also another important aspect. There's physical disabilities and invisible disabilities. The first one, definitely, you know, is something that we can see, or that person, the arm doesn't work, or they don't have a limb, or they use a wheelchair, they use an assistive devices, an assistive device. But when it comes to invisible disability, that's where the great issue is, because a person looks at you and like, why are you not responding in a certain way? Or why are you feeling like this? Why are you doing this? Because they don't understand how deep somebody has, how deep the disability is. I can pinpoint things like autism, bipolar. The mental health has got a whole spectrum. Autism has got a whole spectrum. You mentioned deaf, yes. And there are other conditions that are coming through that are just in the spectrums of these other disabilities. And a lot of people find it difficult to deal with such disabilities where a person needs somebody to assist to interpret in terms of deaf persons, or where somebody needs to be just there to assist a person. Or the greatest, the most difficult is somebody who they, on the outlook, everything is okay, but then they have an invisible disability that when people try to deal with that person, they think they're being arrogant or they're being funny. Yet it's things that need to be also taught to society, that there are invisible disabilities, and this is the name of one of them, or this is what, how you approach the person, how you interact with the person, and so forth.
And I think you're so right, because a lot of that learning comes into our schools. It bears with the person that says, when you're talking to somebody, don't immediately judge them because their reaction is different. It may be because they're different, and it may be because they can't hear you, but don't be so quick to judge them.
Yes, that's true. And isn't it society? Are we not quick to judge? We are. And we, when even when we know the, what is involved, we still have the old societal approach to things. And unfortunately, these beliefs and what we have in our minds are things that disables persons with disability. There's a whole social and medical approach to disability where you should understand that we are in the social model of disability, where people limited access to communication, to physical buildings, to communication, to transport, to a whole range of things, is what disables persons with disabilities, so that they can't participate fully in socioeconomic platforms. So that's the whole approach.
But I also find it's like somebody said to me this morning, their mom had calipers to walk. And whenever somebody would come up to his mom and dad, they would turn to his dad and say, does she always walk like that? It's not that she had any less of a brain just because her body didn't work so well. And people have a tendency to do that. They need, from an education, I remember when my mom was in a wheelchair, the people she loved most were the people who knelt next to her to talk to her face to face rather than talk down to her because they were bending down. There's just so many little things that one could learn from just listening or just trying to understand that the world is not all an even platform.
Yes, and just as much as the diversity in society, we should just embrace that diversity also includes disability. If we can accept diversity in all aspects, in race, religion, creed, beliefs,
it's tolerance. I think, Simon, it goes back to tolerance. You need to tolerate others that are not the same as you.
That's the thing. That's the thing. We once came up with an approach that says, I see you. I see you was also a diversity approach where we wanted to include disability as well. And we said, if you see me, if I see you, like in Zulu they say Sanbona, it comes from the premise of I see you, I acknowledge you, and you know, I see that you are there, and I acknowledge you with everything that you are, that you believe in. And that's the foundation of acceptance in society.
And also a lot of people who have no disability or visible disability within their families, they always have this tendency to feel sorry for you rather than treat you as an equal just because you have less, like you may have one leg less or you may have one arm less. They immediately assume that you are less of a human being than they are. Without realizing you're actually more because you're able to live with that disability and overcome whatever obstacles life threw at you.
That's exactly the point. It's now why we came up with the paper and saying, you know what, if a person has an impairment, there's an ability attached to that. There's something that they can do. And we try to talk about profiles in people that have different kinds of disabilities to say this is what can be achieved if only society can be open to bring this platform on board. And that also being said, society has a tendency to put a superhero status on achievers with disabilities. And that becomes a danger to society because now there's two extremes, the apathy viewpoint and the superheroism. We escalated Oscar Pretorius to such a level of superstardom. Yes, he was a star, but we also like put, despite his missing limbs, he's such an achiever, and we put him as a demigod on the position, that we forget that he is also a human being, and anything that a human being can do, he can also do. So, you know, that's the two extremes of disability that society casts
Listen, I completely agree with you on that one. I also looked at we also tend to sort of look at the opportunity of if you go into a shopping center and there's parking for the disabled and yet everybody fills it, they'll run 50 kilometers on the treadmill at the gym, but they won't walk five steps from a car park. And we always say to these shopping centers, why don't you put the disabled parking, the parking for the disabled, because the parking's not disabled, the person is. But if they could move that parking to the back of the mall, we would be delighted because the person that we're assisting is in a wheelchair and it doesn't matter how far we park from the front. So would you please move our parking to the back?
I'm glad, Jenny, you're raising these fundamentals. For long, the disability sign has always been the wheelchair. And also society just thinks that if they see a car parked in disabled parking, that person that's going to come out is going to be sitting on the wheelchair, because now it just limits it to mobility impairment. But there's also a vast, like we said, a person who's blind, who's more traveling with their family, can park in the disabled parking.
Correct, because they need to navigate less.
Exactly, with the person they have. Or a person who's deaf, they need to really see the signs. They need to be closer to the signs, because they speak through the signs. They speak through the exit sign. They speak through the...
They cannot be run over by a car they can't hear.
Exactly. You park so far, there's no signage. There's no... You have to be on the lookout. What if it's dark? Because they need to have light. So when you talk about universal access, universal approach to design, these are the things that we talk about, and it's important in disability. You don't just make a ramp for wheelchair users. You make a ramp for people who use a stick. You make a ramp for people who use who are blind, who use
a handrail.
Yes, a cane. You use a ramp for old people. Even you, if you're tired, you don't want to climb up the stairs. You want to shuffle across it.
Don't you just love the ramps that these people build that are at such a degree that the person pushing the wheelchair is almost horizontal with the ramp, trying to get that wheelchair up? And I go, guys, it's 37 degrees for a reason. It means that the person in the wheelchair does not need a carer to push them up. They are able to wheel themselves up. But the degree of your ramp is such that the person pushing the wheelchair is almost horizontal with the ramp.
You're also leading us to another dimension. Nothing about us without us. I see people come up with new products. They test it in the market, they tweak it, and they... Why don't people just take an organization for people with who uses wheelchairs? Do a sample, sampling. As anything else, as with any product, take people that are blind, take people that...
Take it to the person to whom it applies.
Yes. Test this ramp for us. Test, is it practical? Is it too steep? Is it too flat? You know, things like that. Is it usable? And then you get feedback and you make improvement. But when it comes to disability, there's an alienation that still exists. There's this...
They seem to think the disability equals no brains.
Exactly. And now, whatever we give them, they should be thankful. That's also the thinking of society. It's not an apathy, it's not a society, it's not a welfare issue. It's an inclusion issue, it's a diversity issue, and everybody needs to be considered.
I just think you're so right, because I remember when I did the PR for the Gauteng Legislature Building in Bromfontein, and they were taking me on a tour of the building before it opened so that I could see for myself what I needed to know. And of course we got to the bathrooms, and I said, oh, here's a bathroom for wheelchairs. I'm curious about this. And I pulled the door towards myself. So I said, okay guys, who tested this? And they looked at me and they said, well, we did. I said, well, did you use somebody in a wheelie office chair or did you use somebody in a wheelchair?
Yes.
And they said, why? So I said, because I first of all cannot reach the handle if it is in front of me. And then I have to reverse with my wheelchair, pulling the door towards me.
Exactly.
And the space between going the door and the wall does not allow me to go around the door to get into the bathroom.
Practicality.
And they went, oh, oops. I said, yep. And they had to change every door on the 7 floors. I think it was 7 floors. They had to rethink it. And I said, I'll come back with my mom, and then I'll tell you if it works.
Yeah, that's exactly the approach. And I think little by little, if we sensitize enough, things will start falling into place. Yes, we understand that some old buildings were built before legislation and requirements, before all these adopted world standards. But also there's also new inventions. We have a South African guy that, if you go to our website, disability.co.za, there's a story of a guy who's just manufactured a wheelchair that can do stairs. without the need of expensive elevators or expensive lifts. And it's a South African design. Just a guy here from Pretoria. And that's how we need to approach things and to understand the world we live in.
And I think it also, we also need to understand that there doesn't have to be a special magazine for disabled people. And I mean, I love your production, especially now that it's online, thisability.co.za, T-H-I-S, ability. But it also needs to be included on regular websites, on regular news sites, on regular sites that people read. Because all of us at some point have a family member that has a requirement to be a part of us, but they need special consideration.
Yeah, that is very important. You can't be a standalone and campaign in a society where you want people to believe in whatever you are campaigning for. So you really need to include society. One of the most amazing things that has happened to our platform is Media 24 coming on board and saying, you know what, let's take youth with disabilities every year. Let's take a class of 8 to 10 youth around the country, and we bring them to learn basic journalism for a year. And each month they contribute a story to the newspaper, and they understand the fundamentals and the advocacy issues, and they also highlight stories in their environments. And this has given a voice to a number of young people with disabilities. And besides that, the linkage is just to include them into initiatives like the YALI, the Young American Leadership Initiative, started by President Obama. We have had like 4 students that have attended it so far. And this partnership has just opened doors of possibilities for many youths with disabilities.
Well, I think going forward, Actonville FM would like to do the same thing. I would love to be able to invite you to come and join us once a week and bring your journalist students with you. And let's chat to them and let them contribute towards the show, because I can't think of anything nicer than talking to somebody who just has so much to offer and be a part of our team. And we've got a ramp with a handrail.
I'm gonna take a lot of audits in terms of, oh, do you have access for this type of disability? But it's a universal access component. Like I was saying, the approach has to be universal. It has to include everybody, regardless of what their disabilities, regardless of what impairment they have.
And I think we need to go and design the signs and go and replace all of those free of charge, get it sponsored, and replace all the wheelchair signs around the world and replace it with universal signs.
That's the first step.
I think that's going to be our mission this year. Simon, it's been a pleasure having you on the air, on my show. My show is about small business and big dreams, and yours certainly has been a dream come true for a lot of people, not just myself, but for those with disabilities, as they found a voice through this ability. And I look forward to having you on the show again soon.
Let's do this. Thanks so much, Janine.
No, thank you. And you can get hold of Simon on www.thisability.co.za. He has, do you have a donation button, Simon?
Yes. Did I just remove it? I think it's back.
It's on the footnote. Tick, tick, tick.
Actually, you know, you just say that I tried to put a radio platform on our site, an internet radio platform that would just start curating content that is disability awareness information. So we're still in the first stages, but yeah, it will come to fruition.
And we'd love to be a part of that. I'm hoping that we can certainly collaborate more on this issue. Simon, it's been a pleasure, and I really look forward to chatting to you again. Thank you so much for coming on air with me.
Thank you so much, Jim, and good day to you.
And to you. This episode has been recorded by Janine Preston for Life is a Beach.